Now, sadly, dementia is a disease which is found in increasing numbers of people these days, and it shows itself in lots of different forms, from what's called mild cognitive impairment, which affects memory and language, to more ruthless things such as full-blown Alzheimer's disease, which can affect daily lifestyle very severely. Well, scientists have been looking into Alzheimer's disease for decades and trying to figure out just why it happens, and there's one group based at the University of Manchester that have uncovered one aspect of it that could lead to its prevention, and we sent Mira to find out more.
Alzheimer's is a form of senile dementia, and it's very common. In fact, one person in five over the age of 80 develops the condition, which causes memory loss, sleep disturbance, and personality changes. Patients with the disease show accumulations in their brain of an abnormal protein called beta amyloid, and this is thought to be toxic to nerve cells, triggering the disease. But scientists still don't understand exactly what causes the build-up of this pathological protein in the first place. In recent years, they've shown that the disease does have a genetic basis, but they also suspect that there might be another player involved, and that's the herpes simplex virus, or HSV. Now, surprising as it sounds, 80% of us are infected with this virus, which usually causes cold sores. But what's unusual about HSV is that once you're infected, the virus remains in your body for life. It hides inside nerve cells as a tiny piece of DNA, which can periodically reawaken to control the production of new virus particles that then leave the nerve to produce infectious cold sores. But occasionally, the virus can also invade the brain, causing a condition known as encephalitis. And Professor Ruth Itzaki from Manchester University thinks that this might provide us with a clue to how herpes simplex is linked to Alzheimer's.
The main reason was because in a very serious, rare, luckily, illness called herpes simplex encephalitis, the virus destroys the same regions as those that are mainly affected in Alzheimer's disease. And another point is that once people get infected, it stays in the body throughout life, so it's in a position possibly to do harm in older age.
Well, when it comes to herpes simplex virus, how does that actually get into our body? How does it infect our body, and then how does it work?
I think the main route it takes is it's transmitted in saliva and probably kissing and so on. Infants are kissed often. It probably then enters the body and travels in, eventually lands up in what's called the peripheral nervous system, which is the part of the nervous system other than the brain and the spinal cord, and it stays there for life.
Once it's in the body, though, what then causes it to become active then?
It's thought that it reactivates under conditions of stress or when the immune system is suppressed. A number of causes make it reactivate, but I should say that when it reactivates, it doesn't necessarily cause any harm in the people at all.
When research started being done into this connection, what was found to connect them?
The first bit of evidence was when we looked for the virus to find if it was present in brain, the viral DNA, and we found that it certainly is present in a high proportion of elderly people, and that led us to continue with the work. Having found the virus was present in brain, we used other methods which suggested that it had been possibly active in brain, and not active just once, but maybe recurrently. So we think it might cause a sort of very mild type of disease like encephalitis. After that, we discovered that it looks as if there's an association between the virus in brain and a particular genetic factor, and it's the two together that we think cause the disease in about 60% of Alzheimer patients.
And what's the genetic factor that you thought to link them?
It's the type 4 form, the so-called allele, of a gene called apolipoprotein E, which codes for a protein which is involved with carrying lipids, fats, in blood and in the brain.
How is this gene thought to work in order to help aid herpes and the formation of Alzheimer's?
We think it affects the degree of damage. It may be that there's earlier entry of the virus into brain, but we think the main effect is that it affects the extent of damage there.
So you found this connection now. What next?
Well, we've recently been finding, rather than I think a major finding, that it looks as if the virus does actually cause the formation or increased formation of an abnormal protein called beta amyloid, which is present, it's the main component of one of the abnormal features of Alzheimer's disease brain. And we find, say, the virus infection increases that in cells in culture and in mouse brain. It also, we found even more strikingly, in the sections of human brain post-mortem, that it's located within these structures. And so we think this strongly implicates it in their formation.
In the grand scheme of things, is this going to hopefully lead to some kind of treatment? I've heard things about a possible vaccine. Is that likely?
It is possible in the future, but at the moment there's no vaccine for this particular virus. It's something that would have to be developed. It would involve a very lengthy clinical trial because people would have to wait many, many decades to see if people do or do not develop the disease when they've been vaccinated. What is much more imminent and practical at the moment would be antiviral treatment, which is available, fairly cheap, and could be used with rather minimal side effects. And it would be good because at the moment there's no real treatment, no effective treatment against Alzheimer's.
So Ruth's team have found further evidence connecting herpes simplex virus to the onset of Alzheimer's disease. But as she mentioned, there are still many other connections to be found. Teams of scientists across the globe are working in this field, hoping to find either a treatment or preventative measure, as such a large percentage of our population are affected by this form of dementia.
That was Ruth Itzhaki talking to Mira about the finding that herpes simplex virus could increase the formation of beta-amyloid protein plaques in the brain, and this is a known cause of Alzheimer's disease.
More on Alzheimer's coming up shortly, because we'll be talking in a second to Peter Nestor, who is a researcher at Cambridge University, and he's looking at how Alzheimer's actually affects the structure of the brain. We'll be joining him shortly. This is The Naked Scientist with Chris and Ben. If you have any questions, email chris@thenakedscientist.com.